Okay, Chair Powell, the floor is yours.
Good morning. This meeting is called to order. Welcome to the February 8th, 2022 Colorado River Basin Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting. This meeting is being webcast and recorded, so please speak clearly. To comply with public gathering limitations and physical distancing requirements, and as authorized by Government Code Section 11133, there is no physical meeting room. For people who only want to listen or watch the meeting, the board's customary webcast is available. For those in the Zoom meeting, you will be on mute and your camera turned off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera if you have one. When you are done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You can remain in the Zoom meeting until completion of your item and then may choose to exit the meeting or continue. The next item on our agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. Could we have the flag displayed, please? And Vivian, would you lead us in the pledge?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America.
And to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible. With liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Chair Powell?
Present.
Vice Chair Music?
Present.
Board Member Gonzalez? Absent. Board Member Perez?
Present.
Board Member Satin?
Present.
Board Member Wright?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. The purpose of this public meeting is for regional board members to obtain testimony and information from concerned and affected parties within the Colorado River Basin region regarding water quality issues. The next item is our public forum. We welcome hearing from the public at this meeting. Any person wishing to speak should have submitted a virtual speaker's request as described in the agenda instructions. For those items listed on today's agenda, you will make your comments at the time the item is being considered. Do we have any speaker cards, Mary?
No, Madam Chair, we do not.
Thank you. Okay, before we start, I'd like to announce that item 4, the waste discharge requirements for Mission Springs Water District, is being continued to a future board meeting. So we will not address item 4 on the that's in your agenda. So item 1 is minutes from our January 11th, 2022 board meeting. Do I have a motion to review and approve the minutes for the January 11th meeting?
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none, can we please take a roll call vote for approval of the minutes?
Chair Powell?
Aye.
Vice Chair Music?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
And Board Member Gonzalez is absent. Motion carries.
Thank you. Item number 2 on our agenda is an update from our State Water Board liaison, Laurel Firestone. Laurel, the floor is yours.
Hey, hello, nice to see you all. I will go through a few items on what has been going on at the State Board. To start out with, just wanted to give an update on the hydrology and urban water conservation that we track monthly. statewide residential use for December was 65 gallons per capita per day, which is in line with recent Decembers. And so relative to 2020, that's a 16.2% savings for December. That's about 7.4% cumulative from July through December. And I think a lot of that is that we had a very wet December. So I think folks didn't have to irrigate as much. We continue to consider a petition for reconsideration of our 2021 temporary urgency change proposal. That actually is at our next board meeting. We released a draft order, a revised draft order, and have that on our agenda for our public comment period ends February 11th, and we're scheduled to hear public comment and adopt on February 15th. We hosted a public webinar on our new 2022 drinking water needs assessment. So this is an update each year we do as part of our SAFER program to identify risk and needs around ensuring access to safe, clean, affordable drinking water. One of the big changes was expanding or updating the affordability and risk indicators, continuing to improve those. We also expanded the size of systems that we are looking to assess. So looked at greater than the 3,300 connections, given that there are larger systems on our Human Right to Water failing list. So looked at larger systems for risk, and in particular started to look or took a stab at doing a cost estimate for what SB 552 requirements, which is a new law requiring drought planning for small water suppliers and rural communities. And so there's a number of requirements for resiliency measures that need to be put in place. Depending on funding. And so we did a first estimate of the costs to help inform priorities for funding for investing in those resiliency measures. We are also working on water loss performance standards regulations that we're continuing to consider. So that basically is designed to bring water losses to levels that are cost effective and feasible for each urban retail water supplier. We will host a public hearing and detailed overview on February 10th, and the comment period ends February 11th. We are looking to consider adoption of the final regulations on this in the second quarter of 2022. We are also continuing to work on the sanitary sewer systems waste discharge requirements general order reissuance. So we have a general order that requires public agencies to report sewer spills, develop a sewer system management plan, conduct internal sewer program audits, and the regional boards enforce the general order with the assistance of the State Board and Office of Enforcement. We are hosting a workshop to provide further information on the proposed general order reissuance on February 23rd and 24th. We'll host a public workshop to receive public comments on the proposed order on March 15th, and that public comment will end April 8th. We have been moving forward on the water and wastewater arrearages payment program. So the drinking water portion of the arrearages payment program has closed. We published the final payment status of applications the end of last month. There were a total of 668 submitted applications, and that requested funding of about $302 million. That was $263 million for residential needs and $38 million for commercial arrearages. And the number of accounts in arrearages was 534,000. We also just adopted earlier in January our guidelines for the wastewater arrearages program, and you can access that on our website. We are continuing to work closely with the regional boards and our wastewater providers to try to make sure that folks are applying for this, and really appreciate the assistance that Region 7 staff have provided and will continue to make sure we can get customers this assistance. Just to update, give you a sense of Region 7 on the drinking water side, 33 systems in Riverside County applied, requesting about $16.5 million total, just on the drinking water side. We're hoping folks will apply soon on the wastewater side. And then in Imperial County, five systems applied, requesting $521,000 total. Salton Sea, there should be an annual report any day now from CNRA. And we are we're planning on moving forward with a workshop on March 16th. And don't have details on the timing of that yet, but we'll certainly share that. New River, I think Paula probably has more details than I do, but I know that they are going out to bid for construction. Their plans to go out to bid for construction the first or second week of March, and hoping to award the construction in late April, and doing a groundbreaking in May. That's the goal. I think with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions by our board?
Good morning, Laurel.
Morning.
Well, you did a good job then. No questions, Laurel. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Good to see you all.
Okay, moving on to our contested items. The first item that we will hear is item number 3, consideration of adoption of waste discharge requirements for the City of Holtville Municipal Wastewater Treatment Plant. I am now opening the hearing for the waste discharge requirements for the City of Holtville Municipal Wastewater Treatment Plant. I will now administer the oath. All persons intending to speak on this item, please raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the penalty of perjury? If so, please answer, I do.
I do.
I do.
Okay. Please state your name, affiliation, and whether you have taken the oath before testifying. The order of the speakers for this item is as follows. The presentation by Jose Valle de Leon, comments from the discharger, comments from the public, board member comments, and discussion. So with that, Jose, your presentation. And yes, there it is. Thank you.
Okay. Well, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, and members of the public. My name is Jose Valle de Leon. I work for the Regional Water Quality Board as a water resources control engineer. I'm here today to give general information relevant to proposed order R7-2022-0005, which pertains to the NPDES requirements for the City of Hopeville Municipal Wastewater Treatment Plant. Next slide. This presentation will include some background information regarding the proposed order. We will also review the history of both the facility and permit, any recent plant modifications, compliance history, and conclude with any comments received during the public comment period. Next slide. The purpose of adopting the proposed order is to update the 2016 permit and bring the Hopeville Municipal Wastewater Treatment Plant up to date in compliance with regional, state, and federal regulations. The 2016 order has been administratively extended until a new permit can be adopted. The previous permit expired in June of last year. The National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, NPDES for short, permits cover individual facilities that discharge into waters of the U.S., which Hopeville Municipal Wastewater Treatment Plant is currently permitted to do. These permits are individually written based on the type of facility, treatment capabilities, and the receiving water characteristics. Next slide. The wastewater treatment plant is a minor facility, which means it's less than 1 million gallons per day of discharge with a design capacity of 0.85 million gallons per day, and provides sewerage service to the City of Hopeville, which has a population of approximately 6,600 people. It is classified as a publicly owned treatment works, abbreviated POTW. Currently, this facility is regulated under the NPDES program, and the NPDES permits need to be renewed every 5 years. And the receiving water that this facility discharges into is the Alamo River. Next slide. Currently, the discharger has an NPDES permit, which was issued in June of 2016 and is due for renewal. In general, the permit requirements include discharge prohibitions, effluent limitations, receiving water limitations, and monitoring and reporting requirements. The proposed order has slightly modified effluent limits and monitoring requirements for bisphthalate, but remains mostly unchanged. Discharge prohibitions remain unchanged as well. Some examples include prohibiting the dumping of trash, pollutions that may cause a nuisance, or discharging an amount that exceeds the plant's design capacity. Next slide. This is an aerial image of the Imperial Valley. The Salton Sea is at the top left of the map, while the U.S.-Mexico border runs along the bottom of the image. The Hopeville Municipal Wastewater Treatment Plant is identified by the yellow star shown on the map, which lies about 10 miles north of the U.S. border and 7 miles east of El Centro. Next slide. This next photo is an aerial image of the Hopeville Municipal Wastewater Treatment Plant location. You can see some of the treatment process structures on the right side of the photo. The treated wastewater is ultimately discharged into a neighboring irrigation ditch shown with the yellow arrow at the center of the photo, right below where it says discharge point in yellow. This then flows about 200 feet west through a pipe to the Alamo River as shown with an orange arrow. And you can see the Alamo River on the left side of the photo. The Alamo River ultimately flows into the Salton Sea, which are both waters of the US. Next slide. This picture here shows the primary treatment process the facility used prior to 2016, which is called the trickling filter. These processes operate by trickling the wastewater over media, seen here in black, that is covered by microbes. This media is porous, which means water can go through it and allows the water to trickle to the bottom while interacting with the microbes throughout the media. This treatment method is simple and effective, but requires considerable operator effort to prevent clogging within all of that media. Next slide. These next two slides show the new primary treatment system currently in operations. The new treatment process began in December of 2016. This type of process is called an aeration basin, which uses oxygen to grow microbes that break down and convert sewage and waste. Next slide. The second picture illustrates the operations of the treatment system. Tubing delivers oxygen that is bubbled into the wastewater for the microbes. Other sections of the system are void of oxygen to help remove other types of waste from the wastewater. This system is monitored and operated using computers and sensors throughout. The advantage to this system is that it is more robust and can be controlled and monitored easier than a trickling filter. Next slide. And I will go into why that was important. In 2009, the water boards issued a cease and desist order to the city of Hopeville, which included a compliance schedule specifically for ammonia. The primary treatment process used at the time was the trickling filter as shown in the previous slide, which could not reduce the ammonia levels adequately. Ultimately, the CDO was extended for a final compliance date of December 2016. The result was an upgrade to the facility, which came into operations at the end of 2016. Prior to this date, the facility had a difficult time keeping the ammonia levels under control on a monthly basis. Since the plant modification, the facility has gained control of the ammonia issues. Next slide. Over the 5 years of the 2016 permit, they have had only two copper violations. The last one was in 2018, and according to staff at the facility, it was likely due to an upset in their pre-treatment process. Since the start of the new treatment process operations at the end of 2016, the facility did not have any issues with ammonia until the beginning of 2021. The four ammonia violations occurred as a result of short staffing in the region due to COVID-19. In the Imperial Valley, Hopeville and Sealy wastewater treatment plants take in septage waste from the surrounding agricultural industries. The Sealy wastewater treatment plant suspended this service, which led to an increase in the septage loading for the Hopeville wastewater treatment plant. After seeing the spike in ammonia, the facility implemented several protocols, such as limiting incoming septage waste to prevent any further violations, and has complied with all NPDES permit requirements. No further violations have been reported since March of 2021. Enforcement actions to resolve the latest violations began at the end of last year. A conditional settlement offer was sent to the discharger in November of 2021. The conditional settlement offer was accepted by the discharger and approved by our executive officer. This enforcement action has now been completed. Next slide. During the public comment period, no comments were received. Which means no changes to the draft have been made other than small editorial fixes to address typographical errors. Next slide. So our recommendation, or my recommendation, will be in conclusion. Staff recommends that the board adopt the proposed NPDES order R7-2022-0005. Next slide. And I thank you for your time, and we'll now open the discussion to answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, I think thank you, Jose. The next item would be the comments from the discharger. Do we have any comments from the discharger? Do they want to speak or have a presentation?
No, Madam Chair, the discharger is available for questions, though.
Thank you. Do we have any comments from the public?
No.
No, we do not.
Okay. Board member comments and discussion?
I have no comments, but I'll move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve. Is there any discussion before we vote? I didn't realize we wanted to move that far. Okay, hearing none, I will. I should have closed the hearing before we had Ed's motion, but the hearing is closed. We do have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please? And this
Chair
will
Powell.
Be aye.
Vice Chair Music?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
And Board Member Gonzalez is absent. Motion carries.
Thank you. As mentioned earlier, item four, which was R7-2022-008, consideration of adoption of the waste discharge requirements for Mission Springs Water District Allen L. Horton Wastewater Treatment Plant is
I heard.
Has been. Has,
thank you.
Ed, could you mute? Could you mute? Thank you. Okay, that item number 4 was pulled from the agenda for a future hearing. Moving on to item 5, R7-2022-009, consideration of adoption of waste discharge requirements for Coachella Valley Water District Water Reclamation Plant number 7. I am now opening the hearing for waste discharge requirements for the Coachella Valley Water District Water Reclamation Plant number 7. I will administer the oath. All persons intending to speak on this item, please raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the penalty of perjury? If so, please answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name, affiliation, and whether you have taken the oath before you testify. The order of our speakers today will be, on this item, will be the presentation by Reggie Tan, board staff, comments from the discharger, comments from the public, followed by board member comments and discussion, and then I will remember to close the hearing. So with that, Reggie, are you ready for your presentation?
Yes, I am, and I have taken the oath.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Reginald Tan, and I am a water resource control engineer with the Colorado River Basin Regional Water Board. Today, I will be presenting the proposed order R7-2022-0009 for Coachella Valley Water District Reclamation Plan number 7 in Indio, Riverside County. Next slide, please. In this presentation, I will be providing some background, key permit requirements, comments received, and our responses to those comments. And I'll wrap up by summarizing and providing staff's recommendation. Next slide, please. Coachella Valley Water District, CVWD, or discharger, owns and operates a wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal system that provides sewage service to portions of Cathedral City, Rancho Mirage, Palm Desert, Bermuda Dunes, Downs and Palms, and parts of unincorporated Riverside County. This facility is known as the Water Reclamation Plan number 7. The Water Reclamation Plan is a wastewater treatment plan with preliminary, secondary or biological treatment, tertiary and disinfection treatment. Treated wastewater is either disposed in the percolation pond or is provided to nearby golf courses as recycled water. I will be providing more information on the treatment and disposal in the later slides. Currently, the water reclamation plan is regulated by Board Order R7-2013-0026. Next slide, please. This slide shows the geographic location of Water Reclamation Plan number 7, denoted by the red pin in the center top part of the frame. The site is located at 80609 Avenue 38 in Indio. Next slide, please. This slide shows an aerial picture of WRP7. The northern percolation ponds are located in the stormwater channel north of the wastewater treatment plant. The northern percolation ponds are located on the Bureau of Reclamation land. The red rectangle outlines the area where the wastewater treatment plant is located. Next slide, please. The facility has a secondary treatment design capacity of 5 million gallons per day with a natural treatment flow of 2.8 million gallons per day. This slide shows the waste stream treatment process flow. The facility consists of preliminary treatment, biological treatment, which includes both primary and secondary treatment, tertiary treatments, solids handling, as well as disinfection and disposal system. The treated tertiary water is provided to golf courses as recycled water. If the demand falls short, the plant disposes of the secondary effluent wastewater into the percolation ponds. About 64% of the treated wastewater is provided to the golf courses for irrigation. The remaining discharge is sent to the percolation ponds. Next slide, please. This slide shows the secondary effluent limits for the water reclamation plant. On the left are some of the limits listed in the current order issued in 2013. For carbonaceous biochemical oxygen demand, total suspended solids, total dissolved solids, and flow limits. On the right are the limits in the proposed order, which has revised limits for carbonaceous BOD and TSS, with the new addition of an interim nitrogen limit. Limits for pH and dissolved oxygen in the percolation pond remains in the order. The total nitrogen limit is established as an interim limit that will be discussed in more detail later in the presentation. Also, the monitoring and reporting program requires monitoring such as influent, effluent, domestic water supply, and groundwater. The analytes and frequencies are specified in the monitoring and reporting program. Next slide, please. Post order also include limits for tertiary treated effluent for chlorine disinfection, total coliform bacterial and turbidity for recycled water. New limits are based on Title 22 requirements for unrestricted use of recycled water. Next slide, please. We received two comments from the Coachella Valley Water District during the public comment period. All comments were addressed in the response to comment sheet. I will be discussing these two comments. Coachella Valley Water District requests the removal of summary tables of groundwater monitoring data for nitrogen. The monitoring data for nitrogen will be captured in the summary tables for groundwater monitoring data for nitrite and nitrate, consistent with the groundwater monitoring list in provision G1. And our responses to that comment is that total nitrogen monitoring in the proposed monitoring and reporting program was submitted by error. Monitoring for total nitrogen in the groundwater monitoring wells is a requirement of the 2013 order and should carry over to the proposed monitoring and reporting program. The groundwater monitoring list in provision G1 will be revised to include total nitrogen with no changes to reporting requirements K3C3. Next slide, please. Comment number two, Coachella Valley Water District requests replacing the last sentence of this provision, reporting requirements K3D with the following sentence. The summary shall include effluent monitoring data for TDS and total nitrogen and groundwater monitoring for TDS, nitrate, and depth to groundwater. Now, our response to that comment is that consistent with our response to comment number one, the last sentence in reporting requirements, K3D, has been revised. The last sentence now reads, the summary shall include effluent monitoring data for TDS and total nitrogen and groundwater monitoring data for TDS, total nitrogen, nitrate, and depth to groundwater. This concludes my discussion of the comments. Next slide, please. Staff recommends that the board adopts waste discharge requirements order R7-2022-0009 for Coachella Valley Water District with the proposed changes reflected in the response to comments. Thank you, and I am available for any questions or comments.
Thank you, Reggie. In keeping with our order of presenters and comments, do we have any comments from the discharger at this time? Or a presentation?
No, Madam Chair, we do not, but the discharger is available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any comments from the public?
We do not.
Thank you. Okay, board members, comments and discussion on the order and any comments or questions for Reggie or for our discharger who is available?
I have no comments, but I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
And just to clarify for everybody's sake, that motion is to adopt the order with subject to the changes identified in the responses to comments. And yes. Also, has the hearing been closed yet?
No, it has not. So the hearing is closed. And Ed, could you restate your motion,
I'll make the motion
please?
I'll make the motion to adopt per the changes that were discussed.
In the response to comment?
Yes. In the response to comments.
Okay, and I'll second that one.
Okay, so we have a motion to adopt order R7-2022-0009 with changes made in response to comments. And we also have a second. Could we take a vote, please? A roll Chair call vote.
Chair Powell?
Aye.
Vice Chair Music?
And you're on mute.
Aye.
Thank you. Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez is absent. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, and I'm going to have to sign out now. So everyone have a good weekend, and we'll see you the next time we have a board meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye, Ed. Okay, moving on to our informational items, executive officer's report, item number 6, Paula.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, and members of the public. I'm Paula Rasmussen, executive officer. Today, I'm providing updates on the status of our recruitment efforts, board meeting schedule, and on recent program actions. First, we are actively recruiting for several vacancies, which include geologists, engineers, and supervisors. We recently brought on board a new staff member in the site cleanup program, an engineering geologist, and we have 6 active recruitment efforts ongoing right now. Regarding board meeting schedules, the board meeting, which is scheduled for March 8th, will be canceled due to timing considerations. The next board meeting will be held April 12th, and it has not yet been determined whether the board meeting will be virtual or in person. We will see where things are in the next month or so and advise you. Recent program activities include a CEQA scoping meeting that was held in January for the New River Ammonia and Toxicity TMDL. The purpose of the meeting was to receive input from interested parties on the project. The project lead is Rosalyn Fleming. A conditional settlement was approved for mandatory minimum penalties for effluent violations for the city of Brawley. A penalty of $48,000 was assessed. The settlement included two supplemental environmental projects, $8,000 for a cross-connection control and education program, and $10,350 for a project to distribute low-flow nozzles and drought materials. The case was a collective staff effort, which included Cassandra Owens, Maribel Paisano, Kai Dunn, and Office of Enforcement staff. Another conditional settlement was approved for the city of Holtville. The $15,000 settlement was for mandatory minimum penalties for effluent violations at the municipal wastewater treatment plant, which you heard of discussion of earlier by Jose Valle de Leon. The case was a collective staff effort with Cassandra Owens, Maribel Paisano, Jose Figueroa Azevedo, and Kai Dunn. A closure letter was issued for the 29 Palms Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center. The closure was for completion of a site investigation and remedial actions for an underground storage tank site. The project lead is Jesse Bagby. A water quality certification was issued to Westside Canal Battery Storage. The project is for energy storage with a capacity of up to 2,000 megawatts, located 8 miles southwest of El Centro. It will be constructed in three phases over 10 years, and the facility includes battery storage, solar energy facilities, and infrastructure. And the project lead is Logan Rao. And this concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Water Board member comments? Does anyone have anything they'd like to share or bring to the board? Nancy?
Yeah, I do. I got a couple of just information items here. The Salton Sea Authority meeting, which was this month, I have a conflict, so I didn't get to see it, but I just thought you'd like to know that on that agenda, the New River Improvement Project, the Calexico Reach, which is the first part of the New River Improvement Project, they had a presentation by the city manager of Calexico, Miguel Figueroa. And also on that agenda, there was a discussion on the Salton Sea Authority's proposed Proposition 68 funding for the New River Water Quality Public Health and River Parkway Development Program, and at board direction, take appropriate action regarding proposed New River Improvement Project. So they discussed that at the Salton Sea Authority meeting, which I think is really great because they're working on the water quality now of the New River too. And the other one was the Salton Sea North Lake Pilot Demonstration Project. First outreach meeting for that. It was held Saturday, February 5th. It was put on by District Supervisor Perez, Manny Perez, Riverside County Supervisor, Assembly Member Eduardo Garcia, Vice President Estrada of Coachella Valley Water District, Executive Director of Salton Sea Authority, Patrick O'Dowd, and Juan Perez, who's the Chief Operating Officer for the County of Riverside. They've all got together. They put together these outreach meetings discussing the Salton Sea North Lake pilot project, or demonstration project, I should say. They have come up with four alternative ideas for that. And actually, the one that they seem to like the most, they're going to have more meetings on this public. These are public comment meetings. Of all the alternatives, they haven't picked one yet, but the one that they seem to like the most at this point in time is the the project footprint's 154 acres. It's alternative one. There is a report that has all these alternatives in it and the different ideas of them. I think I sent it to Paula. Did you get that, Paula? Maybe you might send that to the rest of the board when you get a chance.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay. And so the parcels that are impacted by that that 154 acres underneath the sea there is there's 10 parcels and there's four property owners, which makes it a little easier than some of the other parcels. The water supplies that they propose to use in this particular alternative is the well water, canal water, and temporary canal water. That's the Coachella Canal, if I'm not mistaken, or the All-American Canal. Anyway, the environmental and permitting is to be announced. So there's a lot of hoops to jump. The proposed construction cost of that alternative is $11.8 to $13.5 million. And the design and permitting of that particular one would be $3.7 to $4.3 million. And that was just one of the alternatives. I won't read the other ones. But this is what they're looking at, the group of leaders that I said at the beginning there. And so this will be an ongoing, public meetings. The next one's supposed to be in March, and it will be to be announced, that virtual meeting. I can't find it anywhere. I don't think they're recorded, so I'm not sure if we can watch them outside of being able to tap into the meeting. So that was it.
Thank you, Nancy. It would be nice to get on the email list for notification on that. I saw it in the Palm Desert patch or the one of those little blips that comes across your email, but it was too late for me to rearrange the schedule to tune in for that.
There was also a Desert Sun article, I believe the day after, Sunday maybe, or Monday it was, I don't know, after the meeting. So it tells you a little bit about the meeting too.
Any other comments or things you guys would like to share before I go to my report? No? Okay, so I have a couple of reminders. The requirements for that Form 700, which is Notice of Annual Statement of Economic Interest, that is due by April 1st to be submitted. And we can do that online. There's some links to do it. And the next is, depending on when you got on the board, there's a every 2-year requirement for harassment prevention training, which is a 2-hour class that you have to register in advance for. So if you got that email to do it this year, the dates were the 15th of March or the 23rd of June. And lastly, the same 2-year type schedule, ethics training. And that's has to be completed by December 31st of this year. So it's important that we do that, because if we don't, Paula gets a list of the names of the folks who don't complete their training, and we don't want her talking to us, or more so, we don't want our region to look like we didn't take care of business on that. Yesterday, we had a chair's call. That's a monthly call. And the main topic that was discussed is general orders that the state is in the process of considering. They had actually five listed, but two of them were the same thing. So there's a Clean Water Act Section 401 Water Quality Cert and WDR, and it's for PG&E and the Bay Area. So that wouldn't impact us, and that's expected in the spring of 2022. One that could impact our region is the Clean Water Act Section 401 Water Quality Cert and Waste Discharge Requirements for Restoration Projects statewide. And they expect to complete that in August of 2022. Then there were two listed, which are the same thing, basically. It's an NPDES permit for a surface dredge mining completion. Expected to be completed in 2023. And that is designed more for the recreational mining operation as opposed to a commercial dredge operation. And lastly, general waste discharge requirements for aggregate and concrete facilities. And the completion date is yet to be determined on that. I understand that the order is drafted, but the bandwidth for the state to get it out for workshops and public comment is that will be out in the future. They don't have an expected completion date. They also talked about the WQCC meeting, and they're soliciting ideas for what the board members and the boards would like to talk about or see on the agenda for the WQCC meeting that's normally held in the fall in Sacramento, if we actually get to meet in person. So if you guys have ideas that you would like to submit, please let me know. And as Paula said, our March meeting is canceled and the next board meeting is April the 12th. And also reiterating what she had to say, it's yet to be determined if that is virtual, a hybrid, or an all-in-person meeting. We don't have a closed session, so does anyone have any other comments, board members, questions? No? All right. Thank you all. We'll adjourn our meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.